It is about 27 minutes after the hour of 6. You're at the Roadhouse here on the shore, and we're swinging in now to the time of the evening, particularly on the Roadhouse, and we hopefully and frequently do have live music here in the studio. And we got a couple of guys who have been with us before and hopefully will be with us again. And as I mentioned earlier, I think kind of legends in the music scene here.
And
but you guys are going to have to get closer to the mics when we talk. I don't care if you do that when you sing. But
my wife is listening.
Come on, get
closer.
Got to get closer to the mic.
Get up here.
There you go. There you go.
I was so relaxed.
And that is, of course, Gordon Thorne and Bob Bingham. Welcome, guys.
Hey, guys.
Now, for sure, you're going to have to move closer.
Hey, guys.
There you go.
How are we doing with that?
There, much better.
Okay.
Now, the first thing we want to let people know is that you're up here not just to be on the Roadhouse. Of course, that is always the prime reason to come.
One of the reasons.
But you're in concert tonight at Betsy Bowen Studio.
Yes, we are.
Right in Grand Marais at 8 o'clock at
7:30.
Sorry, you're going to kick that off. So I want to make sure that everybody knows about that. It's a beautiful evening, beautiful.
Yeah, come on down. We're kind of giving this a shot. We're rolling the dice there, see if we can get some folks out. And, you know, Betsy would, I think, would like to see things happen there, you know, and give the area just another venue that people could go listen to some music in a different kind of setting.
Yep. Yeah.
And so
that's a good thing.
If that's something that you're interested in, I'd encourage anybody to come on down.
Now, you know, I was thinking of this earlier. How long have you, and I know you've never been asked this before, but how long have the two of you been playing music together?
Together? Oh, for off and on for about almost 15 years. You know.
More off than on.
Yeah. More off. You know, we play for about like 4 months a year.
And now individually though, you've been at this for a while.
We got over. We're like 70. We're in the 75 year club individually. If you add us up,
the two of you.
Yeah.
Well, I started out when I was 15 playing music, and you know, I bought a guitar and I was in a band the next week. You can imagine what that sounded like. I mean, none of us knew how to play. We just all went out and bought instruments, and then we decided, hey, we need a band, so let's start one. And we didn't know any tunes or anything. We just had a stack of Ventures albums, so we decided that surf music would be the route to go, and we did.
Is that right?
Well, I lived in Detroit and played in a surf band. Go figure.
Now, okay, so are you originally from Detroit?
Well, actually, I'm originally from Boston, but I lived in Detroit for about, 7 or 8 years. That's where I grew up. That's where I grew up musically. I came out of that Detroit rock and roll scene back in the 60s with the Grandy Ballroom and the MC5 and, you know, Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels and all that stuff. I played in heavy rock bands. I had a Marshall stack and, you know, I did the whole thing. I didn't start playing blues till I moved to Minnesota when I was 21.
How about you?
Me? I've always just kind of been a finger picker, just kind of done this kind of stuff. I've played in some bands here and there, but really I've always kind of focused on just, you know, finger style guitar and solo, duo, small combo stuff, you know. I was never a big rock and roller, you know, as far as going out and playing it.
And you said, you've been or have started working together about 15 years ago. How did the two of you start doing that?
You have to go on our website and read my clip. Gordy showed
up. Have you got a fan page? Are you on Facebook?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
You are not.
Yeah, we are.
Are you really?
We got three friends.
No.
They haven't been answering any of my tweets.
Well,
how about Twitter? You on Twitter? Do you tweet?
I got a cabin up in Isabella and out in the woods in the middle of nowhere, and Gordy showed up there about 15 years ago and knocked on the door. And said, yeah, you're Bob Bingham. You used to play in that Lamont Cranston band, didn't you? And I said, yeah, because I moved out there and built a house. And Gordy's going, well, I play guitar. I said, well, come on in. He goes, he picked up one of my guitars and started playing all this wild, blind Blake finger-picking stuff. And I thought, oh, this is okay. And we just started out from there, you know. Uh-huh. Got to be buddies and played together for a while. And then I moved to Phoenix. And we got together, when, about 3 years ago?
Yeah,
we decided it was time. The kids were all grown up and going away to college and that sort of stuff, so we decided we were just going to be real professional musicians.
Oh, boy, are we getting hungry.
Oh, boy, I'm telling you. They don't call this a starvation box for nothing. You know.
Well, before we talk some more about some of the stuff that you've been doing, let's get to some music, away. I mean,
that's what you're here for.
Are you pulling a fast one on me?
No, you do Charlie James.
What are you going to do?
We're going to do an old Mance Slipscomb song, Texas Blues. This is long before Stevie Ray Vaughan was born. It's called Charlie James. It's about the High Sheriff. Well, if you see Charlie James coming down the road, won't you please tell him which way you seen me go? In the morning soon, in the morning soon, I'm going back to Houston. In the morning soon, I had a whole lot of money. It wasn't deep. The next day I didn't have a dime. I looked down the road just as far as I could see, and I thought I spied my old time used to be. I had a whole lot of trouble. One day, next day I didn't know what to do. I looked down the road just as far as I could see, and I thought I spied my old time used to be. Everybody throws him down, killing for his friend, and they won't come around. Well, you might go, and you may try to stay, but you'll be back some old rainy day. Nobody ever knows you when you're down and out. Ask them for a favor, they don't know what it's all about. Well, you might go, and you may try to stay, but you'll be back some old rainy day. So if you see Charlie James, that's the sheriff, coming down the road, don't you please tell him which way you seen me go. In the morning soon, in the morning soon, I'm going back to Houston. In the morning soon.
Gordon Bingham and
No,
Gordon Thorne and Bob Bigum.
Well, just, thought maybe they got married for a minute.
Well,
no, that song, you were just... Your breath was taken away.
It was. I was just...
I was spellbound.
I was spellbound.
We got people coughing in the background. No, that's all right. That's okay.
You couldn't tell. Couldn't tell. You guys said that you have been playing together about 15 years. You play together maybe a total of like 3 months out of the year.
No, we play for about 6 months a year.
Yeah, we play about 50 gigs a year.
Okay, and how does that happen? I mean, obviously there's another 6 months out there too that I'm assuming you're doing stuff on your own or whatever. Yep. So how does the stuff that you do together happen? And do you rehearse or do you just get together and say, all right, let's play this one, play that one?
We do a fair amount of rehearsing. We like to sit and arrange. You know, some songs, they come off without a hitch. We don't learn them at all. We just play them, you know. And other ones, we spend a lot of time with. It really depends on the song. And, you know, like a tune like that song that you just heard, I don't think we've ever rehearsed that song ever. You know, that's just one of the songs.
Well, that would be too much work.
Right.
You can just play.
You just play that one. Yeah, that's one that you just play. But we have others that we've definitely rehearsed, you know, that we'll arrange and spend a lot of time. Not really, we don't rehearse them. We just spend time arranging them. Really is what we're doing. When we sit around together, now let's try this guitar part with that guitar part.
And, oh, I see.
You know, and get the arrangement. Once the arrangement's done, the only time we ever play them is live. Once we get them, then they just go into the live bin.
Well, I know you mentioned that, Gordon, you mentioned that you were just down in the cities, did a couple, three gigs, yeah, I think you said, down there. How did that happen? Where did you play, and how did they come about?
I do most of the booking in the winter. When I'm down in Florida, I'm on the phone booking stuff. And you know, that just happened to be, two of those were bar gigs. And one was a coffee house, well, not a coffee house. Like the Three Crows is a small bistro out in Dillon. It's a great room. I mean, it's a great room if you like to sit and play, you know, have a sit-down audience that's going to listen. In the bar, it's always a Pier 6 brawl, you know. I mean, you're like, you know, you can flip. If I walk into a bar and it's noisy before we start, I know that we don't have a prayer.
Really?
No, yeah. We don't have a chance. There's no way we can win. But if it's a quiet bar, like it at Palmer's, when we played there, like, we had a great time. Mm-hmm. But those people down there on the West Bank, they love listening to this kind of music. They're accustomed to it. Mm-hmm. And at the Narrows in Navarre, we had almost a sit-down audience. Yeah,
that was more like a nightclub. So some bars are, you know, you got your bars and you got your nightclubs where you get a nice stage, tables right up front. If you want to talk, you can go to the back of the room. If you want to listen, you come up front. Like those are nice places.
Yeah,
little hybrid situation.
Now, do you play out of the area at all? I mean,
that's all we ever do.
Yeah.
I'm talking about even outside Minnesota.
Well, we're planning on that's we're that's the next move. You know?
Okay,
we go to Wisconsin in the past. Time to time. You call that out of the area?
So like Superior, even.
No, actually, we got down to Minocqua.
Oh,
we were down in Minocqua. We're playing in a blues club in Minocqua, and the first night, this was about a month ago, and the first night we went in there, and you know, it was an electric blues club situation, and the owner kept telling us to play louder, and you know, there was like 15 guys sitting around the bar getting drunk, all trying to pick up one gal. You know, that was a scenario. You know, we've all seen that situation where 15 guys and there's one gal there, you know, and we had to watch that all night long. And everyone pretty much ignored us. They turned their back. You know, it was the bullet holes in the pickup truck gang. Gordy pointed that out. We went in the bar. Look, there's a bullet hole in the side of this guy's truck. I'm going, no, that's not. I go over there. Yeah, that is. That looks like a real bullet hole. As opposed to the fake bullet holes that people put on the sides of it. But the next night we went in there and we'd driven all the people out, all the local people. And there was a lot of people from Chicago come up there to vacation. And there was about 10 or 15 people who really know about blues music. And they came, acoustic blues. Mm-hmm. And it was a great night.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
We were beside ourselves in the motel room. I had to call on Coach Thorne over here. You know, Gordy's a hockey coach. I refer to him as Coach Thorne.
You still coach hockey?
Not any longer, but I did. I coached the girls' hockey team at Silver Bay at the high school for many years.
Right. We're sitting in the motel, and the next day we're going, oh God, I can't go back there. I don't want to go back. Don't make me go back and play there. And Coach Thorne's going, come on, Bingham, get it back, Bowen. He goes, I tell the girls, when you're on the road, and you got to play two games, you go for a split. You win one, you lose one. So we went for the split on the road, and we got it. Yeah, we got it.
Fantastic.
Coach Thorne, but he had to pull me out of it. I was.
You're ready to get in the car.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was ready. We were.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. We were going, maybe he'll call us and fire us. We were hoping we'd get fired.
That was just a total waste of time. That first night was just a waste of our time.
Yeah.
But you must run into that. I mean, not frequently.
Well,
but
we try not to.
More often than you think.
No, we don't run into it too often, but we work hard at not running into that. Really. I mean, we do. Yeah. We spend a lot of time picking out the spots where we want to go.
And I'm assuming that if you run into that, the chances
back.
Of going back there are not good
we
at
don't,
all.
No. It's scratch right off the list. So they don't want us. We don't want them.
You want to write down the good ones, and that's where you stay in touch. Let's do another one.
All right. What do you want? Let's do Don't Take My Picture Down. This is a Moon Mulligan tune. He's a piano player that played with Bob Wills and those kind of guys. Milton Brown and the Brownies from Texas. And I pinned this song on top of a John Hurt lick. Came up with this. 1, 2, 3, 4... Slip the ring off your finger, or you can go on paint up the town, or do what you will, you're my baby still. Don't you ever take my picture down. Let it hang, let it hang in the corner to remind you that I'm still around. Though our love is through, I'm coming back to you. Don't you ever take my picture down. 'Cause you can swim like a fish in the ocean, or you can hop like a little frog along the ground. Do what you will, you're my baby still. Don't you ever take my picture down. In your kitchen, head on out, buy more by the pound. But true love ain't like lard, no, it ain't soft, it's hard. Don't you ever take my love to town. Let it hang
in the corner to remind you that I'm still around. Though our love is through, I'll be coming back to you. Don't you ever take my picture down. Yeah, do what you will, you're my baby still. Don't you ever take my picture down.
Gordon Thorne and Bob Bigham here on The Roadhouse on North Shore Radio. You mentioned when we were getting ready to come on the air that you just also recorded on NPR.
Yes, we just did a little segment on Minnesota Public Radio.
Oh, can we plug that? Is that kosher to plug it on the air?
What? Another radio station?
Yeah, right. I don't know how that works.
Nah, don't worry about it. You know, they try real hard, but they can't catch up with us. So. Yeah, but anyway, so NPR, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was very nice.
Dale Conley?
Yeah, yeah. Dale Conley's show. Mike Panger was the engineer and or the producer, and it was a great... It was just a great place to go to, and it was huge. Going into the
I had no
NPR
idea.
Studio was incredible.
Bigger than this? Come on.
Yeah, just a little.
I had it's no a big idea. Building. I had no idea. You know that it was. I mean, I've listened to NPR for years, but I had no idea. We would go over to St. Paul, and I see this huge building. I go, what have we got ourselves into this?
Well, they're the corporate giant, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They did a great job. You know, we recorded three songs. We didn't do a live. Thing, you know, we recorded three songs, and so we were able to do a few retakes and stuff, but it went fairly well,
I
think.
And how did that come about? What was the...
I wrote him a letter.
We pestered him. Oh, yeah.
I wrote him a letter. I wrote Dale Conley a letter this winter.
Yeah, the act is starving up there. You got to help us, Dale. Give us a break.
He did that, the radio show here from that morning show. Remember when he did that? Well, I was on that, so I... And we hit it off pretty good, so I wrote him a letter. Because these emails just don't get you anywhere. They just don't. You think that it's the greatest thing, but they're terrible.
No,
nobody
it's
reads them.
They should call them.
So I wrote him a letter, and he got back to me like within a week.
Wow.
No
yeah.
kidding.
Yeah, he got right back to me.
Huh.
Snail mail.
Yeah.
So now, Bob, do you still live out in the woods?
Uh-huh.
You do. In Florida in the wintertime and out in the woods?
I go down to Florida about November, and I come back. And this year I came back at the beginning of April because we had the Ashland Folk Festival, and then we had another theater gig. And fortunately, you know, this year the weather's been so great.
Oh, I know it.
It's been fabulous up there. I mean, I could actually drive into my cabin, you know. The road's a mile long to get in there, and it's just not plowed, you know. But the weather's been great, and I'm really glad I came up early. We had a bunch of jobs to play.
Yeah, we've played a ton of jobs this May. I mean, since Bob got here, we've probably played 16, 17 jobs.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And now, do you play down in Florida, too?
No.
No, that's...
I don't do anything in Florida.
Just said.
No, I hang around... I live in Live Oak, Florida, which is it's sort of in the middle of the state. It's near the Georgia border. It's out in the middle of nowhere. It's a little tiny farm town.
You get a big thing for out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I like that. You know, isolation is good. I don't mind doing the, like last week we were down in the cities for 5 days, and, you know, I got back here, you know, no offense, Gordy, but, you know, after 4 or 5 days, you know, I mean, he went right to the golf course, and I went immediately to the sauna. When I got home, it was
enough
like,
is enough.
Oh, yeah, we're ready
we didn't talk to each other for a couple of days.
That's the way to go, though.
Oh, yeah.
5 days is about right. Five days out. And that's what we do. We'll go out. We'll run up. We'll line up, over the winter. We a couple times a month, we'll go out for 5 to 8, 5 days or, and
we went. We did some longer trips last year, and that we decided that was 10 days was too long.
Mm.
Yeah, just too long to be away from home.
Yep.
You know, especially in the summertime when it's really nice.
When it's nice. You don't want to be wasting those days.
Right.
Yeah. But it's nice that you can do that. It's nice that you can say, all right, I can do the 5 day chat, but we don't have to do the 10.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're not in it for, this isn't what we do for a living. So we're fortunate that way because it's, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want to be out there doing this for a living. It would ruin it all.
Yeah.
I've done it for a living. And, you know, it's not the same now as it was when I was 25 years old. I mean, it's really hard getting. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I played in a lot of different, you know, some of the bands I played in, you know, Lamont Cranston Band, and my brother plays with the Hoop Snakes, mm-hmm. you know, that band. And, you know, we had some fairly decent success way back then, but there was more of a club scene where you could do that. Now it's just, it's, you know, the music changes and styles change, and yeah. I like sitting in a chair.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's much more dignified at this point.
And you guys, if nothing else, you guys are dignified.
Oh, oh, thank yeah. you. That's very kind of you. I'm gonna
put that on your liner notes on the next CD.
If nothing else, they're dignified.
We got a few minutes left. Can we get one more from you before we go? I just want to remind folks, you're playing at Betsy Bowen Studio tonight. It's the old Playhouse. Before that, it was a church. 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
Come on out and enjoy some great, great music.
And you know, I'm gonna kind of dedicate our show tonight to the memory of Bill Hinckley, who was a dear friend of mine that passed. Or I don't know if he died yet last night or not, but he's getting ready to die. And I've been keeping in touch with what's going on down there. And he's a Minneapolis folk
icon.
Icon, you know, he's fantastic, and he taught me a lot about music, and I'm really gonna miss him. And anyway, so that's something I just want to let anybody know out there who knew Bill to be thinking about him. And we're gonna play some tunes about him and stuff that he's showed me and stuff like that tonight. So
great.
Why do you want to finish her off with, Bob?
You're asking me. We could do El Cap, I suppose.
So yeah, there you go.
It down.
Sure.
There's no way we can goof this one up. I got to play it safe on the air, you know. I'm an older fella. I don't want to stress myself out before the big show tonight. My lumbago's acting up. Okay, this is a Memphis Slim tune, or it used to be, until Gordy got his hands on it. It's called El Capitan. It's one of the 50 train songs that we know. Station, won't you give me information on the next train out? I need a reservation, I got to go. Nobody's gonna change my plan, no. Yeah, I'm leaving right away, riding on that El Capitan. When I think of how she treated me, my heart begins to burn. Give me a one-way ticket, cause there's no need to return. I got to go. Nobody's gonna change my plan. Yeah, I'm leaving right away, riding on that El Capitan. Well, it's written on the hill, it's posted on the bill. With one gal won't matter, since it probably will. I got to go. Nobody's gonna change my plan. No, 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 no. Yeah, I'm leaving right away, riding on that El Capitan. All right, Gordy. I said goodbye. I've been a fool, and that's the reason why I gotta go. Nobody's gonna change my plan. Yeah, I'm leaving right away, riding on that El Capitan. Well, hello, Union Station, won't you give me information on the next train out? I need a reservation, I got to go. somebody's gonna change my plan. Yeah, I'm leaving right away, riding on that El Capitan. Yeah, I'm leaving right away, riding on that El Capitan. All aboard! Yeah, I'm leaving right away, riding on that El Capitan.
Ah, that was great. Gordon Thorne and Bob Bingham, thank you so much for being with us again. And next time up, make sure you stop again. You're always welcome on the, at the Roadhouse.